Hey, I'm Matthew.
And I'm Colleen.
And we have four kids, and they're supposed to be in bed sleeping by now.
We are exhausted, so we thought, why not do a podcast where people can listen to our end-of-the-day conversations with each other?
You'll laugh, you'll cry, maybe you'll learn something. No, who are we kidding? We're just a couple of exhausted, mostly crazy, very happily married Christians. Are you ready, Colleen?
I was born ready. My middle name is ready.
Well, my middle name is Chimichanga. I must be hungry. Bookshelf Tracker.
Yay!
On Gab.
I mean, I'm a fan.
Says, are you really?
Yeah.
They say, listen to your latest and followed on Spotify. Really funny stuff.
Yeah, we're funny.
I'd say I'm funny.
Yeah, you're right. You are funny. I think I've said that several times.
So that was very nice. Thank you, Bookshelf Tracker. So you're a fan? Here's the thing for the listener. You should understand. In 24 episodes of us doing A Tired Christian Parents, this is our 24th episode of doing the Tired Christian Parents podcast. You and I have never once discussed this is what we're going to talk about.
Oh, no, never.
We literally put the three-year-old to bed and hit record.
Yep. We go, okay.
And we see what happens.
Yep.
So, so this week is
raw.
Did I talk about whether or not I... Oh, yeah. So on the last podcast, I said I didn't know if we'd gotten the Christmas show confirmed.
Oh, right.
It got confirmed.
Yay!
So we are going to be playing a Christmas show. My band, Road to Failure Trilogy, will be playing a Christmas show. Yes. For those of you who might think that I'm the funny one... I named my band Road to Failure Trilogy because me and my friend... had two prior bands.
How did they do?
In the past that failed. Now, this is over a 22-year period now. We weren't always playing. I was in the Army, and he was doing other things, too. And
the other bands
so
were
we had two other
too.
Bands, and they failed. This is our third band. So this, thus, is the Road to Failure Trilogy,
right.
Even though there's only two of us in the band. That's not always true. Sometimes we have a violinist and she makes it a trio, but that's not the trilogy.
No.
So whenever I put on our website a new show to pop up, I say the trilogy continues. Okay, yes. So the Christmas show is confirmed.
I'm so excited.
And so for the next 2 weeks, we have to learn 20 Christmas songs. And
this is what I've been training you for the last 22 years.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
thank
I've been
you
training. I've been
that.
Singing it in July so that you really get a good feel for Christmas.
The one thing I told Bart is the guy that plays music with me. I told him if we do get the show, we do need to wear Santa hats. So we're going to wear Santa. All right, why are you clapping?
I'm just so excited.
I know. Colleen is a Christmas music fan. I used to be a bah humbug about Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
it was
I wasn't
the
like,
worst.
Well, I wasn't like.
You were.
I wasn't excited about it. I didn't get it. I came from Fiji. See, the thing is, in Fiji, Christmas Day is not that big a deal. It's Boxing Day.
Sure.
Boxing Day is December 26th. So that is more of a celebratory holiday. Also in Fiji, December 25th is generally the hottest day of the year.
Right.
So it's not a very merry Christmas. You're sitting under a fan trying to survive on December 25th. You're not sitting there drinking hot cocoa
cocoa.
The snow or whatever.
Marshmallows.
So when I moved back to the States, I didn't, it wasn't my holiday.
Nope.
It was yours.
Yeah.
So,
do you remember when you came to visit me and you were like asleep on Christmas morning? Do you remember that?
No recollection.
Barely
remember.
And I was
remember.
Like, hey, are you going to like get up? Because you were sleeping on the couch because we were dating.
Was this at your parents' house?
Uh-huh, it was.
And I just didn't, I was sleeping through Christmas
yeah,
Day?
Yeah, you were sleeping.
I was at your house
you were
for
at
Christmas?
My, yeah, it was weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was nice of your parents to allow me to do that. Thank you if they ever listened to this.
And I was like, so, like, we're big tradition Christmas people in my family. So we do like hide the stockings and we have breakfast foods and we really get up and just get the day started. And it's really fun and merry.
Yeah. And my family's the exact opposite.
The exact opposite.
We don't have any traditions. None. We plan zero and we just see how the day's going to go.
I think that was the time when you brought your luggage in. And it was a Kroger bag full of, like, one change of clothes.
I still kind of pack that way.
You do.
Except my Kroger bag is my duffel bag. And the only reason I have a duffel bag is because I almost killed myself going through the Army. So I figured I'll just put everything in a duffel bag.
And I was sold.
Yeah.
I'm going to marry that guy.
Right. Yeah.
Just thinking outside the box with
the
Kroger bag.
That's kind of crazy that you wanted to marry that guy.
I did.
Okay.
So there we go.
Speaking of not remembering, I mean, I got an email today saying I have a job interview on Wednesday for a job I don't remember applying for. Mm-hmm. I have zero recollection. And I don't even want this job. But I'm going to go to the interview. I have a person that we know very well mm-hmm. who also applied for this job. And she wants it. So I told her, I'm going to go and bomb it. Like super bomb it.
You should not bomb
so
it.
So that she gets it.
Oh my
so that
goodness.
I can make her look good, you know? Mm-hmm. And so watch when they offer me the
boy.
Job.
Yeah, they'll be like, this guy doesn't want it. We should offer it to him.
Well,
so confused.
The first job that I interviewed for after the Army was, I guess I should back up. When we got out of the Army, mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was a gun pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out of the Army and getting out of the Army, for those who have already done this, is a strange experience. You're no longer directed on mm-hmm. where to go and what to eat and what time to be places.
Yeah. They kind of kicked you out. And, they're like, mm-hmm. good luck. Hope you don't die.
And so I, being trying to be the leader of my household, went and I waited tables mm-hmm. at a Mexican restaurant. And I had a grand old time, but that was clearly not something that I wanted to do forever. So I got a job, or so I got an interview. Mm-hmm. I was applying to jobs the whole time. And one of those jobs along the way, I must have accidentally applied for it, mm-hmm. was a sous chef.
Oh, yeah, this is a good story.
A sous chef for a wealthy retired, mm-hmm. what do we call them, retirement homes.
Uh-huh. But it was like assisted living kind of stuff.
But it's a fancy one.
Super fancy.
Where they have like fancy chefs.
Yeah.
So I got this email saying that I got an interview
right.
to be a sous chef. And yep. I, listener, have mm-hmm. never cooked in mm-hmm. my whole life.
Can I tell us?
I mean, I've cooked a little bit, but.
Do you remember back when we were dating and you would cook for me? You can't see the air quotes, but.
She's air quoting cook.
Cook for me. And it was like a can of Campbell's soup over a piece of toast that you would butter before you stuck it into the toaster.
I don't remember.
And then you would toast it like.
I remember my golden mushroom stuff. That was a good one. That was a little treasure that I found when I was mm-hmm. single. Some golden mm-hmm. mushroom sauce over a fried beef patty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to make that all the time.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's. And it's not that you can't cook, because you can. You've made food for me, like after I've had.
Well,
children, and I wasn't able to cook, and it was good.
But you enjoy the cooking, so my skills, if I ever had any, have waned, if not completely disappeared in the kitchen. So yeah, I got this job interview request for to be a sous chef, and I thought, wow, they want me to interview to be a sous chef.
And
I told Colleen, I said, I'm doing it. I'm going to be a sous chef. I'm going to go and work and learn how to sue. I'm going to learn how to sue
the chef.
And so I went, and it's very upsetting when you sit down for an interview and the person opens the folder and has never looked at your resume that moment. You know, usually you would think that a good boss would maybe purview it to see if you have any experience before they even call you.
Sure.
That person had called everybody who had even applied, which wasn't that many. It was like, it turned out to be like three people.
Sure.
I didn't cook. The other two probably did.
Mm-hmm.
So this person opens the manila folder with my resume inside, looks it over for a second and goes, so do you have any chef experience? And I said, nope, but I'm here to learn. And she goes, I don't think that this is the job for you. And, but she goes, but I really appreciate your, I don't know, it's confidence, I guess, sure. You know? So that was a good laugh. Yeah. And, she did offer me a job waiting tables at the retirement home, but that was kind of her. So I left, and the next time I was probably the next day, I got a call, and I didn't catch who it was from, but mm-hmm. they said, can you come in and interview tomorrow?
Right.
And I said, yes, of course, you just say yes. Mm-hmm. But at that point, they had said who they were. So I didn't want to be like, yes, wait, who is this again?
Right.
So I said, yes, I'll be there tomorrow. And they told me where to be, the address. And so I showed up. I had zero idea mm-hmm. what it was. Mm-hmm. It was a 3-letter company, mm-hmm. and I had no idea what they did. Mm-hmm. And so I walked in, and I could tell there was a man and a woman, and mm-hmm. I could tell the man was previous military because of his haircut and just because of his demeanor. The way that he had his demeanor, the way he talked, the way he walked. And I turned out to be right. Later mm-hmm. on, I found out he was a former Marine, a retired Marine. And so they sat down on the other side of the table. I sat down, and his first question was, why do you think you'd be good for this job?
Ooh.
I mean, and it was quick.
Sure.
They said, you know, nice to meet you. Nice mm-hmm. to meet you. So, you know, none of this told me a little bit about yourself. It was, right. why do you think you'd be good for this job?
Love it.
And I just gave the most generic answer mm-hmm. I could. I told him I was attention to detail. I told him all the stuff that I was in all the stuff aww. That I was in the Army.
Sure.
And, you know, good worker, not good, but I had a good answer.
Yeah.
And then the interview continued to go on. And fortunately, it was one of those interviews where the interviewer tends to want to talk more mm-hmm. than he allows the interviewee. Mm-hmm. So it was more about what they expected of the person who would be hired. Mm-hmm. I left the interview mm-hmm. with zero idea what the job was.
Oh my goodness.
That's how bad it was. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe on my part, but I mm-hmm. couldn't figure out what I had applied for and what I was interviewing for. And how long did it take them? Maybe a day or two? I think it was the next day they called me back and said, we'd like for you to come in for a second interview.
Right.
And I was like, okay, where? And fortunately, this time it was at the actual place. And mm-hmm. I became the program manager for security at the Remington Firearms facility.
Yeah.
Where I had to manage security 24/7, mm-hmm. 365 days a year. It was an armed position. Mm-hmm. But the way I found out what it was is because the second interview was at Remington. Mm-hmm. And I had to interview with HR. And that was a much more strenuous interview where they sure. actually asked scenario-based questions. And I got the job.
Yeah.
So I got the job without knowing what it was. So mm-hmm. I'm just letting the listener know that's how the interview is done. So this Wednesday, when I go to an interview for this job I really don't want, I'm going to come back on the podcast and say, I got the job or right, something, you right. know, that I'm probably going to turn it down. So anyhow, the fun adventures that God leads us through mm-hmm. in these fun times.
It's been fun.
But yeah, that was today. And yeah, anything going on with your day?
Today was jam-packed. We started our first class of home education. I don't know. I think it's just going to be called home education class at this point.
Yeah.
They started thinking of ideas like hot dog day. I was like, I can't call the class hot dog day. Like,
sure you can. Sounds awesome.
I don't know. What am I going to put like on the transcript? Like, hot dog day. 6 credits or whatever. No, I'm not. Like, that's ridiculous.
That would be awesome.
No.
Okay.
So, anyways, we did a lot. We talked about plumbing issues and how to fix them. And we fixed some of the squeaky doors and taught them how to fix a squeaky hinge.
So you sprayed a bunch of WD-40 all over the doors?
No, because we don't have any of that.
That you know of.
That I did not search for at all.
Yeah.
So I used cooking spray.
Oh.
That works too.
Yeah. That won't work as long as WD-40. And I do have some in the workshop. Okay. So
when it starts to squeak again. But it worked.
Yeah. It'll squeak again.
Yeah. And we talked about that too.
Yeah.
Like WD-40 was really the best one. And
yeah.
Anyways,
If your dad listens to this, he's gonna have a stroke.
I'm gonna have 10 bottles of WD-40 tomorrow.
He operates off of WD-40 and duct tape.
It's true. He's like, you know, the Tin Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, we did that and some other things. I taught him how to properly make a bed. And
military style.
Yeah.
Do I need to get in on this?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I need some crisp corners.
Yeah. that was one thing. They had tucked it, but it was like too much cloth. So it was like raising the bed up a little bit because they had like too much sheet underneath. And yeah. I was like, no. Let's try that one again.
Yeah.
Soldier.
Yeah. You know.
So we did that. We made Marilyn's bed for her because it was just easier since it's right there.
Yeah.
I don't have to get through all the Legos to get to her bed.
Yeah.
So she had a nice bed for nap time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how I don't care about making the bed anymore ever since the military. But man, when I was in the military, I could make a bed.
Yep.
I had a crisp process. But anyways, so why don't we keep this short for tonight?
Okay.
Because we have a really busy week and I want to have a little bit more energy to also do another recording for the week.
Okay.
And we have the Avett Brothers on Thursday night that we get to go listen to, hopefully.
Yeah.
This is the one that we've talked about on a previous podcast. It starts at 8:00. So Colleen and I will officially be sleeping through the Avett Brothers show. Right. But we are looking forward to it. I bought those tickets 2 years ago and
happy birthday to me.
And finally we get to go to the show.
Yeah.
Hopefully. We'll see. Anyways, so we'll do this again and I'll have to tell the story about my bed making experience in the military and how I got through warrant officer school by figuring out how never to actually unmake the bed. That's how I survived.
Yeah. Oh, and then, I forgot the other thing that I did for you today is I started Thanksgiving menu planning.
Awesome.
Yeah.
My favorite meal of the year.
And this year, I'm feeding the least amount of people. I think we only have like 12 people coming, so.
12 people plus us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
including us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I know.
More food for me.
I know. So this is going to be a good year for you.
Whoopity-doo-dah, whoopity-yay.
I think I was looking at last year's. We've been hosting Thanksgiving for years.
Yeah.
And I always write down how many people come because it changes from year to year and serving sizes and all that stuff.
It's a strategy.
And then last year, we started with 52 people coming and we got down to like 31, I think it was.
Yeah. If I'd have known it was going to be that few, I would have invited the Woo girl from last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she'll show up on Christmas.
Yeah. I would have been like, hey, listen, we don't have that many people at Thanksgiving. Right. My wife needs some more.
No. So if anybody needs a spot,
she's
going to
be serving turkey. And she would have been like, woo! All right. I just officially woke up the kids with that woo.
Good one. All right, everybody.
Good night. Hey, thanks for listening to the Tired Christian Parents podcast. You can follow us on Gab at Tired Christian Parents, or you can email us at tiredchristianparents@protonmail.com. We'll see you next time.